We may not be able to get in on the hurling action like we're used to,
but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their third year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers exclusive to all GAA club members.
So now you can take home the win right to your door.
Check out renault.ie/GAA to find out more.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
A grain of rice. Going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Morning, folks. How are you all doing? There's a small bit of a needle there, says F and Eddie. Small bit of a needle there between myself and Rafe now about my microphone this morning. So I had to try and take a few deep breaths there while the entrance was on anyway. And I all geared up for this show. But anyway, we'll do it on the phone. So if my face is jumping around the place, don't blame me. Anyway, lads, you're all very welcome along Bank Holiday Monday morning, bright and early. Great to see the freshness and the faces there. Delighted to be joined today by Laura Tip, great Ken Hogan, great to have you back, Ken. How's the farm, Ken?
You mentioned the freshness there. There was a great man in Loughmore one time, Pat Cullen from Loughmore Castellani, and he would say to the Loughmore lads before they go out, he says, to play hurling you have to be fresh, and by Jesus, you're fresh. They hadn't trained for 3 weeks before the match. So unfortunately, we're fresh enough for the club scene now, Dale. Yeah. That's what we're fresh
that's
enough
it,
for.
That's it. And you have a couple of fronts to look at on that, Ken, as well. We'll touch on that later. You're finally going to get that Offaly County final played.
Touch wood. All going well.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
They're all in the high after the Christie ring yesterday anyway. They're all high.
Jeez, yeah. 41 points. Some shooting, no matter who you're playing.
There was record scores at all levels over the weekend. We're going to be discussing that anyway. But, of course, Offaly 20s winning the football. They're really have worked hard. You know, that new development in Kilcormac, the training pitches, and the development system is bearing fruition, you know.
Yeah, and I'd say no small coincidence either. Michael Dignan taking over as chairman of the Offaly County Board. I'd say serious help for my lads. Great Super Saturday, we could call it nearly. Magic stuff, I suppose. The second game, maybe not, didn't reach the highs of the first game, but we had a great weekend. And I suppose with Marco on the line and the disappointment of the Queen being just touched off for that place at 33-1 in Galway Wednesday. You know the way the camera goes to the first two, TJ, and you're looking, you know, you're on for a fella to come fifth.
Yeah.
And you're like, next thing she flashes past and you're saying, oh no, we're done.
We're done. Exactly. She
gave it all, like, didn't she?
She gave a great account of herself now, to be fair. And it was fantastic. I'd have to say compliments to Galway Racetrack now. There was a couple of lads went with me and we got treated well as owners and stuff like that. And there was an owner's tent and start the main course and a bite of, and dessert and a couple of bottles of wine if you wanted them as well. So we
probably wanted them though.
We did before and after, to be honest about it. But we met up with actually Brian Gavin and Anthony Cunningham while we were there as well. So we had a great chat with him, and Gavin was giving me a good insight into how things were going in Offaly, which was great as well. But just look, the racing and the national hunt and the GAA, as you know, Anthony, is all intertwined. And you know, there was a great atmosphere, even though there was only 1,000 people actually there. It felt like there were 5,000 people there. But, you know, the most important thing is that the racing went ahead, and that, you know, hopefully with the way COVID numbers are, and I know we'll probably touch on the under-20 situation in Cork, but look, there's a good section of the country is vaccinated now, and you'll be looking forward to, I suppose, getting back to normality over the next 6 to 12 months. Like. But the Queen, in fairness, did us justice, but one short head cost us a few quid, all right, at 33-1. Fifth would have done us, but there'll be another day, hopefully.
Yeah, I got to the City of the Tribes, all right, on Monday evening after the show, and didn't get to Belly Brit, but that is normally the case anyway, even when there's 40,000 people out in the track, like, you know, so still enjoyed the crack with my great pal, Stephen Sheedy. We had a good evening. It was the first day of the inside pubs opening, you know. And like, lads, you'd want to have your COVID cert anyway to get into anywhere in Galway, I'll tell you, on the Monday. I'd say it might have relaxed a bit, TJ. You were up, were you, Friday?
I think I saw a picture on social media of some guy with his COVID cert printed on a t-shirt just in case anything went wrong there for a week.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good idea. But no, I wasn't in Ballybrick. Like I said, the last 2 years now has been the first 2 years I've missed in a long time. I was on vacation. So we had a bit of a get together ourselves here on Friday and got a few hours. Ooh. And did our own little what you call it? Find a way to entertain ourselves.
Hopefully we'll be back in a packed Galway next year and we'll be back to normal. That's great. Lads, we start.
Well, we were kind of hoping we're confident that we'll make it.
I think that the numbers won't be much up though, will they?
We're kind of hoping that we might get a twist into the month or something. We'll
hope for the bunker and Belly Bunyan either way.
Yeah, right. That's a deal.
You're all welcome. Okay. Lads, look, we'll tip on with the hurling anyway. Otherwise, we could do our usual tangent, and Ken will go off the line there. Lads, we'll start with the second game because the Corkness is obviously on a tide here. Like, you know, the incredible stuff. Like, I think they've played 25 championship games in the last month. And they've won 23. Like, it's just, I don't know, can they be stopped at all? But good win, Mark. Good win. Did the job, which was, I felt, was going to be difficult. And I thought it was tricky at times. And certainly, I thought if Dublin had a player of a Tony Kelly stature, TJ, who else, Joe Kenning, and we'll talk about him a little bit. You know, someone like that, when it got back to four, they just hadn't that forward that might do something unreal, like coming down, and Owen Kelly, that type of guy. I think it could have been tighter even, but still, I admired an awful lot of what Cork were about, and like some great stuff in it, and Mahoney's goal, Kyle Hayes-esque.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, look, I suppose if you compare both games, Anthony, over the weekend, the Waterford Tip game was definitely a step ahead of the Cork Dublin game. I suppose Cork, look, it was a case of get the job done, get over the line, get to the All-Ireland semi-final, back to Croke Park, I think, is, you know, the message that's coming out of Cork at the moment. And there seems to be a lot of pace in the team, and that's what they're living on at the moment, is a good bit of pace. And I suppose the feeling is that if they get to Croke Park, that maybe they may be able to show that. But that's another day's work, and we'll discuss that later. But I suppose the key factor for me on Saturday night was the two goals that Cork got. They got him right at the end of both quarters, the first quarter and the second quarter. And there were huge scores at the time. Like, Dublin had started well. They got a couple of goal chances. In fairness to Patrick Collins, has proved not alone did he stop the one from Tony Kelly in a clincher, which gave us a chance to go forward. He stopped Ronan Hayes, which would have been exactly what Dublin would have been looking for, was to get a goal early. Made a great save early on. And I suppose, you know, he's become a fan favourite, I suppose, with the Cork supporters automatically because of what he has done. And, like, you know,
All-star contender already, I'd say, Mark.
I suppose, look, yeah, possibly, I suppose. Look, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet, Anthony, but, like, and Ken would know more, like, you know, with his own lead playing goals and him being a former keeper. It's a very tough place to be. It's a lonely place in goals as well. But it's more lonely insofar that you're 5 or 6 years sitting in the wings waiting for the number one goalkeeper to make a decision or the selectors to make a decision to move him on. So I thought Patrick has been very patient. And I had him in the development squads. He was an absolutely top-class keeper. And his attitude is just fantastic. And any of the lads that know him from Ballinhasig, he's a lovely, lovely guy. So I'm thrilled for Patrick. And lads, you know, it was only a couple of months ago that we had the meltdown in the league match against Limerick above, and the goalkeeper and Patrick got a lot of criticism, I suppose, that night. But I think a lot of lads in the RTE studio said afterwards maybe it was the best thing in the world because he'd have learned from it as well. So his distribution is excellent. He's a fierce, calming effect as well in the defence, which I think is very important for a keeper. And there's a huge trust amongst his defenders. I think, if they've gone two matches now without conceding a goal, and they have been excellent, and he has been excellent. But coming back to the match itself, I thought Hernady was instrumental when the game was in the melting pot early on. He had a monster point from 90 out, and I mean, you know, he missed an awful lot of chances against Clare, but I think his first three shots at goals last Saturday went over the bar. They were a big help. Plus, Robbie Flynn's form has improved a nice bit as well. He hit a couple of very good scores in the first half. But like those two goals for me were the key thing. They just kept Dublin at arm's length all the time. And as much as they tried, I don't know what Dublin ever going to roam in. But like you'd have to say, having been 7 or 8 points up cruising, and next while it came back to 4 with 5 minutes to go, you're just saying, oh no, is this 2018 all over again, where we were 6 points up with 7 minutes to go against Limerick and we got reeled in? And I think you're right, Anthony. Dublin didn't have the ability to put the ball over the bar when it really mattered. Whereas when you go back to that Limerick game, Limerick had a lot of players that scored late on, particularly Dowling. And I suppose, in some respects, if we were maybe playing against a better opposition, the result may have went the other way. But I would have to say Cork stepped on the gas again and stretched it back out to 8 points, a little bit like what they did against Clare. They were 5 points up, went a point down, and then stepped on the gas and came back and went 6 points up. I know they could have lasted at the end and it would have been a travesty, but they are definitely moving in the right direction. I think so. I do think they're improving. And you know what I liked about it now? And the one here I'd love to pay a compliment to lesser players as well, to John Mellericks, to Luke Meads, Robert Downey as well. Like the amount of blocks and hooks that they got in on Saturday night was quite obvious. There was a huge amount of that. Like we have some very good players as well, the likes of Hannity and Hoggy and Mark Coleman and Dara Fitzgibbon. But like the lesser known lads, I thought, were excellent on Saturday night. And I think that bodes well for the future. And like Kiana's, I suppose, at odds is saying continuously, outside of Hoggy and Hannity, the average age of the team is 23, 24 years of age. So the future is bright, and it's great to be back in Croke Park, but a huge upping in performance required to get to an All-Ireland final, I would suggest.
Ken, he's kind of playing it down already, isn't he? He's putting the... It's like as if now they were all called into a meeting yesterday at some stage, all the ex-greats and all the ex-captains, let's say, bring them in and say, lads, when you're in the media this week now, it's all but this is a bonus now. They're at it already, Ken.
Yeah, look at Cork are back in a big way, in my opinion. I'm glad you mentioned Patrick Collins, Mark, because he's actually down Tipperamore now with us at the moment. He's the same age as Brian. He's only 24, like, but he's been 5-6 years on that bench. And we see it this year with Brian now. You know, he got concussed twice and he had the frustration in sitting out the championship. It's pretty frustrating. I always use the example of Noel Skeehan. You know, I think he was 30 when he played Intercounty, and look at the goalkeeper he was after. He's understudied Harry Walsh. And then you had Darren Gleeson with Brendan Cummins, you know. So from that perspective, you just have to be patient in that position. And like they played again, Carrie Doone, Tony Forrest, all up along against each other. Brian and Patrick, all those games. But eventually he's got his opportunity. And I had never any doubts watching him, even when he was under 14 coming up, that he would be a top-class goalkeeper. He has that calmness that a goalkeeper needs. He has that presence. But also, obviously, with Donald Grady in the background, that patience and trust is there with a goalkeeper. I remember talking to the Limerick lads, TJ, you know, when Kenrick came in at the start, Nicky was trying these short puck outs and one or two were intercepted. And Nicky was reassured by the management. This is the league, Nicky. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. We've got to try these things because you've got to look at a bigger picture and championship. And that's exactly what Cork have done as well, you know, with their puck outs. And I'm delighted you mentioned the Jerry Mellericks as well and the Luke Meads of this world, Robbie O'Flynn, and of course, Robert Downey at full back, because that number three position, number six position for Cork, I think they've plugged the holes now, Mark. And Jesus, must be a really exciting time down in Cork now at this stage, you know, coming into to play your old foals, Kilkenny. You know, shackles off now, going through to an All-Ireland semi-final. Good management team there, but more importantly, a bit of momentum behind them. You know, whether we like it or not, Kilkenny are there. They're savage aerial ability. We're hearing this aerial ability all the time. The one thing that has probably let us down in tip. But I think they will meet a different team in Kilkenny in the fact that they can plug those scores that you mentioned about Dublin, you know?
Yeah.
I think the lads were being fair to Dublin last night, saying... They're in the middle of nowhere, that they haven't overachieved or underachieved, because Dale will tell you what a massive job himself and Richie Takeham did in Dublin, but so frustrating, sure. You mentioned about the marquee forwards. Like, the best forward I've seen in the last 6 years playing club hurling was Conor Callan. You know, yeah. He's the best club hurler. And unfortunately, them are the guys that would push you over the line, that would get that goal for you when you need it. You can't underestimate Conor Callan's ability to do that. His brother's playing at the other end. It must be frustrating, and you went through that frustration, Dale, when some of your top players, unfortunately, are not available to you.
Yeah, and the difference then, Ken, when Conor Keeney decided to say, no, I'm going to hurl. I wanted to hurl always. Maybe the setup wasn't always there, and then he came across, and funny enough, a national title and a provincial title come after Keeney comes across within 3 years, you know. It's just like Con would be, and I'd love to see, maybe if they go on and win this one, or maybe they won't win this football one, maybe Con. That's why I think, and we'll talk about the Dubs in a minute, but I think it's crucial to keep Matty there now with the connection with Kula. I think Con would actually turn Dublin into contenders, not pretenders, real contenders. Like,
as you can't underestimate how good he is. I saw him playing, and also the fact that his brother is playing as well. You know, they're in the one house, eating out of the one soup bowls. You know what I mean? Yeah. From that point of view, there must be a pull to play at that level, particularly when you're living in the city, training in the city, just down the road, and you're seeing your brother going out with the gear and the bag and the hurley and the helmet. You know, there must be a pull there at some stage.
Yeah, we 2 years with Kilmacudden, a great visit from them to play Clarecastle on Saturday, and they came back to the pub and watched the game, and James, we had a great night. It was a mighty crack now, but and thanks to the great Mick Hines and Paddy Lenehan for organising that as well. They were great crack. But
the Hound.
Yeah, unreal. Like, and the Hound is right. what a guess, man. Stop. But we beat him the first year. Big shock. So caught him kind of really. Do you know what I didn't think? When met him in the quarterfinal the following year, lads. Like, he was just unmarkable, Con. Like, honestly, like, you just could not mark him. And funny enough, in the county final, then first ball in, rounded the full back. Buried it. I think Noli came a little bit late and gave him a dead leg and he had to hobble off, and Bridget's came close to cause an upset then. Like, that's how good he is, like, you know. So to be just a pity.
And Jack O'Connor would have been close to that dead leg mark too, and Sunday Noli was coming out Saturday evening. I said, oh no, because Noli doesn't pull up. And what a great year he's had in the goals for Dublin as well. I thought he's absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant, whether it's an autumn, summer, but Noli stay going. Noli lives for it. Noli definitely stay going. What an influence. And yeah. TJ, your take on all things Cork, your Kieran Kingston, are you happy?
I'm definitely happy. I think they won, like, Sharpe's favourites that they were, without being maybe overextended. I think there was plenty more in them. What's different about Cork this year? I think, just to touch on what Ken said there, I think fixing 3 and 6 to a fair degree has had a massive impact on the team. I'm not sure if they're going to stick now. Like, Downey has definitely posed a question for them. I'm not sure if he was maybe the number one choice for them, because, let's say, it could have been Callan or Cadigan. But I thought Downey was fierce and impressive. He got the blocks in, and you could see him growing. He's a bit like where Cocker at the moment with their game plan, with their puck out.
And TJ, can I just ask, like, the point I was trying to make this morning in your column was, this was a completely different challenge with Ronan Hayes than Aaron Shanahan. And he looked to be early on that Ronan Hayes might be, this fella's going to upset the apple cart here, you know. But he coped, and what a second half then.
Brilliant second half. Now, you probably say Dublin maybe had the better of those chances early doors, and Cork went in 2 points up at the water break, which is a big plus for them, not having hurled brilliantly. But I think the two key points for me are that the central spine of defence, and the other thing, just as you talk about, let's say, you might talk in one player change a team like Conor Callaghan, right? Obviously, he's that good. But for me, Jack O'Connor has changed the Cork attack, right? He's a line breaker. Like, it's difficult now for teams to leave him one-on-one inside with Jack O'Connor, because he's so quick and he's so pasty. And I think he's changed the face of this Cork attack. The focus was nearly always on Huggy. Now it's shifted. Robbie O'Flynn, Shamie Hannity coming back to where he was. Like, they're probably the key differences with this Cork team. Yeah, there might be question marks about their second half, but I never got the sense that this game was going to go away for them. They've done enough, and the road might have been kind to them this week, because, you know, for a big match coming against Kenny, they probably weren't overextended. They probably played at maybe 75 or 8%. tidied up during the week, get the bodies refreshed, will leave them in a good position. There's certainly a tide rising here. It is red. There's a lot of positives. I don't know, Mark, where the likes of Cadigan and Callan and these boys, will there be jobs for them? Because they'd be maybe the bigger physical players where they would suit maybe possibly one or two of the players, like a Wally coming on or a Massey Keown, or like the way Kilkenny play. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of challenges for the management team in getting these matchups and maybe their tactics right. Because as we've seen over the weekends gone and maybe previous weekends, different games take lives of their own. And we've got all sorts of different game plans now, whether it is run game off the shoulder, physicality, pace, or power. So that's the challenge, I imagine, for Cork during the week. And I think, like, usually you with a winning team, but I could see some changes coming from the beginning.
Yeah, I suppose just to go back to Jack O'Connor about pace and that, like, I said, he has some touch, lads. I mean, like, the one thing that struck me was the ball that he went out off his left-hand side, like, without breaking his stride, like, he flicked it up with one hand into his hand and rattled it over the bar. Like, the last time I saw a fella doing that, like, was Dean, like, you know, and, like, Joe lived on his touch. Joe had a swerve was what he had, and he could throw a fella in no time. Or, like, Jack O'Connor has it all now at the moment. And hard to believe he's out there getting three yellow cards in the last two championship matches. So he's not a doctor player by any, but he's ballsy, like, that's I like that. And and you're right, TJ, he has changed the face of the team, because you know what he's done? He's basically said, lads, just give me the ball and I'm gonna go at him. Whether you go at him or not, I'm going at him. And he might actually show it to one or two of the other forwards that maybe need to say, lads, you know what? When I get the ball in my hand, it isn't to tap the ball over the bar. And we had a few of those forwards in the past that when they got it, they went to just get the ball over the bar and have their name on the score sheet. Now, this fellow wants a goal. The point is the second option for him. But smart enough, I suppose, if the point is the right thing to take at the time, I think Jack will make that decision as well. Now, coming back to what they're going to do with Cahill, like, Cahillan is out. He's an on-runner. He's appendicitis, so he's no chance of playing. I'd say there's a good chance that Owen Cadigan will be available to play. Great to see Cullum Spillane getting a bit of game time as well. So, Sean O'Leary Hayes as well. So now, all of a sudden, you have three extra defenders. You have nine defenders now fighting for six positions. And I think what we saw over the weekend, both out of Waterford and Tipperary, was that the bench had a huge part to play in the championship. And I think the bench will have a significant part to play as well next against Kilkenny. Because, you know, there's going to be, it's a totally different game. It's going to bring massive physicality. And you also then have Kilkenny forwards at every one of them. You know, and we all know about, you know, the Owen Codys, the DJs and the Billy Ryans, right? They'll look at the scorers. Massey Keown, Donnelly, they'll be seen as physical threat. But if they get the ball in the hand, they can put the ball over the bar. Whereas some of the Dublin players couldn't do that over the weekend, which is probably which helped Cork to get over the line. But you won't get away with that. Like, we'll need to rise at least two levels, I think, if we've any chance of beating Kilkenny over the weekend. Now, do I think it's in there? I do. Do I think we'll see it next weekend? I hope we will. I'm just wondering what three matches in 14 days is going to take out the lads. And that is a factor. And I suppose Kilkenny have been sitting in the wings for the last two weekends now, right? They've had a good look at Cork. That's the reality. They've seen him now in two championship matches. And no better by than Brian Cody to set up his situation, that he'll isolate one or two of the Cork players that he feels, okay, I think we can get a bit of fodder off of these fellas. Like, if TJ Reid got the opportunities that Ronan Hayes got at the weekend, would Rob Downey have been able to, you know, extract himself out of that position? That is a big question for me. That is his biggest test. And I hope that Rob Downey will be fullback. I believe he will be fullback. And I mentioned it last year that he played his first three league matches and he was settling in fine. Then Owen Cadigan came back and they moved Downey out wing back and Cadigan went in fullback. So, the funny thing is he's accidentally fullback now, lads, at the moment because of the appendicitis for Damien and the injury that Owen Cadigan got. So sometimes you get a bit of a break and you get a bit of luck on the way and he has taken his opportunity, which is the big thing. And for Cork moving forward, Downey needs to be left at fullback. But his biggest challenge is coming this weekend back in TJ Reid.
Well, Mark and Ken, I stumbled on a fullback as well when I was with the Dubs with Tomás Brady doing his crusade up against Galway and Tullamore, and it happened to be Peter Kelly went from wing back to full back, and you know, proceeded to be one of the best full backs in the country for 5-6 years till injury took hold of his career, unfortunately. But I mean, that can happen, and you know in goal a full back, and you touched on this, and Cork now have settled backs going into the weekend.
I think they're going to meet a totally different gravy in Kilkenny. The aerial ability of Owen Cody, Mullen, TJ, Big Wally, when he probably comes in, he seems to be an impact sub now, rampaging forward, you know. Kilkenny are the last, with due respect to Kilkenny, they're sort of the last of the old-style team. Tipperary were slightly old-style last Saturday, but Kilkenny are the last of the old traditional team. I know they're playing it through the lines a bit, but still they rely so much on that pressure up front, winning the high ball, creating the opportunities, creating the chances. That's a big ask for Cork. And obviously Cork, you know, they've come through a system of playing against teams. Dublin didn't, you know, curtail him. Tony Kelly really tested him. It could have been a calamity at the end, Mark.
Absolutely.
It worked out. Again, Patrick Collins stood between it and defeat between it. So from that perspective, they are going to test. That's where Kilkenny are going to try and thrive, you know. But Cork up front, it was good to see Hoggy back in form. He won a few great balls, could have got a goal, has a good record against Kilkenny. And overall, this game is all to play for. And we mentioned, TJ was mentioning backroom, our subs and impact subs. We're definitely, lads, I'd say, going to hit an extra time soon. You know, we're definitely going to get this extra time situation soon. And it could be this weekend.
Could be the penalties too. And Patrick Collins thing could be really caught on it. TJ, just for the Dubs, I just have this gut. I have no allegiance to anyone out there, but there's all this speculation going on now about every county that's out of it. City has already departed Wexford, so there's a vacancy in Wexford, we know. The speculation about Galway, the speculation now about Matty Kenny after 3 years in Dublin. There's already speculation about Tip, and nearly the speculation about the Waterford manager, Gooden Allis, he's doing. Where he go. But for Dublin, for me, like, if you look at Matty's 3 years, like the first year, you know, knocked Galway out of the Leinster Championship in Parnell Park, got caught by Leash, you know, one of those things. I'd give anyone a pass on last year, the way it went, and Cork beat them, you know, fair old battle again. But I thought it was real progress this year. I thought it was a bit of misfortune. I think, you know, Owen O'Donnell have been missing for me is a two, three-point swing. And I think they should stick with Matty for definitely another year and let him try and build on that. Never know what had happened with Conor Callaghan and his links there. And I think for Dublin, like, they've been the 20 All-Ireland final. Great match with Galway in this year's Leinster 20 final. There is good young fellas coming through, and I think just stability for a little bit would be a great move for them.
Yeah, I would agree. And we spoke about earlier, I would think that in that under 20 final against Cork, like, for long periods, apart from the start, Cork got Dublin were equally as good as them. They were coached very well and did some lovely players this year against a good Galway side in the 20. And that's important for them to have a kind of a chain of talent through they can keep pushing on. Like, I don't think we would have expected Dublin to be in the Leinster final this year. Everybody expected Galway to beat them in the semi-final, so you'd have to say that was fair going. I think Matty has stumbled across a nice formula. I like the way they play. I mean, their forwards are moving well. Maybe it's harsh on some of them to say maybe they're missing that top drawer player to maybe take over the line and days against some of the bigger outfits. Yeah, that million-pound player, like, isn't it? I like Matty Wise, he's 3 years done in COVID time. I think it wouldn't be bad business to give him another shot at it. Keep the show on the road. They probably have to find a couple of those young fellas to try and see if they can bed them in. Maybe find another little bit of class. But definitely for me, I think they're in the right direction. I think they're definitely work in progress, and I can see the progress.
Yeah,
in them.
Agreed. Yeah, it's job done so for the Rebels and Sunday for that one, isn't it? That's the Limerick Ward for the Saturday. So the extra day, Mark, is crucial too, isn't it?
I think it'll be a help to the players. And I just know from talking to a number of them, like, they're exhausted, Anthony. And I mean, they're after two championships. Like, the Clare game was a
was a bummer because it's a scorching hot day and stuff like that, you know.
Get out the fiddles again there, lads. Get out the fiddles. No sympathy for Clare, like, 4 weeks out of five. You wouldn't mention that at all in the show when coming up to the Cork game, like.
Well, no, in fairness, the ball fell to the right man, Faye. We gave you the opportunity to get out of jail and you didn't take it. You took it 95 and look what happened. You went on, you won 3 months and 2 All-Irelands. You're a double winning captain for all, and you and say you never bought Ali Baker a point, did you?
After oh, by Jesus. you want to get out the calculator and the phone for all the points. You know yourself now, the guards don't buy too many points. Like.
You don't know Ali Baker, Mark.
Yeah, he does.
Oh,
TJ?
There was one other thing that we didn't touch on with Cork, is the role of Tim O'Mahony. I know I we can refer to someone like Kyle Hayes. Mm. The goal he scored after Hurley, unbelievable run through the middle. Della, I'm not sure if you ever found yourself in the 21-yard line when you were in those heady days of wing back. Did you ever get a shot at goal?
No, I stayed back around my own 21. TJ, no. Was
okay. He hit the crossfire 95, didn't he, in Eamon Tess?
Yeah.
That was a free.
There wasn't too many lads would hit the crossbar from 90 yards, TJ, you know. Like, we needed a goal, like. We needed a goal.
You spun it, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. I mean, top to top. As Brendan Cummins would say, Ken, I gave him the eyes, David Hughes.
Yeah. So you were the first for us, O'Dailer, to start the crossbar challenge. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Oh, look, something magic had to happen. Like, so, you know, Tim O'Mahony, you're right, TJ. Yeah. What a goal. Rushy came to do him. I would like to tip defence now. I'm going to say this straight out. No one came to do Kyle Hayes. Let's say, right? And I mean do now in a proper way, as we'd say. He doesn't come through. You must put the body on the line. But Rush came to do him, like, and in fairness, O'Mahony, and we're on about body swerves and that, he just took a step. If a rugby player did it, lads, they'd be raving about it. He stepped onto the right foot and back across, and he just missed him, I'd say about a half a foot with the shoulder, and he dipped the shoulder, Rush, to try and meet him. And then, of course, I'd say Nolly was expecting to take it a bit further. And I wouldn't say it was it was a soft goal, but I thought Nolly, when I saw him shooting, I'd say, Nolly, get to this, because Nolly's a great shot stopper. But I'd say he didn't think he was going to shoot. He thought he might pass, I'd say. And Nolly's brilliant to come off his line in those situations as well, as we saw against Kilkenny. He just, you know, he'd come out and pelt the body like he doesn't mind. But he Jesus, it was a great first-time strike. And Jesus, lads, if Kyle Hayes' goal wasn't scored, we'd be raving about this goal. You know, but this isn't it brilliant to mention, though, to see, you know, because like there'd be no point in me making that run, TJ, because straight away the wing forward would have taken it off me. Then one of the midfielders would have definitely taken it off me. Like, you know,
but Dale, the funny thing, Dale, was that
you need a taxi back.
Stop it, Ryan Ayer.
But the goal chance, he scored, he came down the right hand side of the flank of the pitch to get that goal. And then later on for the Robbie O'Flynn goal chance, he came down the left-hand side of the field and made a run. And the ball was only being poked out. And he started sprinting from his own half-back line and got on the end of a pass. And later on for Robbie O'Flynn, who had a chance, which is brilliant. But Camille, coming back to tell you a small story about Tim O'Mahony, right? Tim's a gas man now, right? But when he was doing his leaving cert, right? The mother told him, Newton Chandler are playing championship, right? And she said, under no circumstances now are you playing. So the leaving was starting on Wednesday and they were playing championship on Sunday. So that was grand anyway. He was at home anyway and one of the lads collected him. Of course, he walked out, no gear, no holiday, no helmet. And the mother said, I'm delighted now, she said, that you're finally listening. And ma'am, there's no problem whatsoever. You're dead right. The leaving cert is critical here. I wouldn't play a championship. So he went away for the match and the mother turned up at the match and next while she looks out the field. And who sent the forward for Newton Chandrum? The bold Tim O'Mahony. He was after trying to gear into the car the night before. I told you, man, she wants back that now and I'll go without the gear. I'll have a bluff. So he's unreal, Effler.
Yeah, you can, as we say, often said to boys, like you can repeat the leaving cert. You can't repeat the first round of the championship. I had big problems when I went to Dublin first about that. Like, they used to take a year out for the leaving cert. They wouldn't even hold minor. Like, I said, what the unreal, fuck is this? No. What the fuck is this about? Like, do you know? Anyway, look at that. Sure, look at it. Yeah, we understand all that. And, you know, I think it's a great sign. Like, looks like a real rounded chap. I don't know him at all. He was in Mary Lyde there, wasn't he, with Jamie? I saw him playing centre forward a good bit for Mary IE. You know, that's maybe where TJ, he can go up the field and do those things. And we've seen a good bit. We're looking at Shane Bennett at centre back. So obviously, it's becoming way more flexible. But look, congrats to Cork, and we really look forward to that. The old firm nearly back, if you'll excuse me saying that, Ken. The old firm kind of meeting again on Sunday. There'll be a lot of snottery around Croke Park.
Of course.
Anyway, any fella from Clare, like, he'd be told, shut up, like, if he's invented, you know what I mean? See no motives. But anyway, lads, what a game we had earlier in the day. I suppose the pity for me was somebody with the scheduling, like, 1:30 and 7:00. Do you know what? It was too far apart, and we had football in between then, and that's not easy for us to take, let's face it. Like, but lads, it was nearly a throwback match, like, in one of us. And, like, Ken, you touching it there now, that maybe Tip were playing a little bit off the cuff, old fashioned, but they still were conceding the puck outs, like, and playing deep. But in some ways, lads, I thought the defensive play wasn't savage. Now, I'm not going to take away from the match in one way at all. But sometimes, like, there was a short puck out allowed, but then there was also a short pass then for about 50 yards allowed to a wing forward. But it was a scoring fest that I just put up on Twitter at the Waterbeck. Breathless. Like, it was incredible stuff. Like, you'd say, Waterford are going to burn these lads. Like, and, you know, Stephen Benedin, like, went the killer instinct, maybe the Cahill is putting into him, went for the goal where maybe the pint to put it 6-1. And then it was intercepted, cleared, and down the field, Jamie Bang. And, like, it just kind of had it all, the match. And very, very enjoyable game, Ken. I know, as a Tip man, I don't know if you're on duty commentating or whatever, but you'd have taken it all in, sure. Like, and I mean, but it was just a great game of hurling, wasn't it? Like, if you could step back from your Tip role, obviously.
Yeah, in actual fact, after about 4 minutes, I'd say, Stephen Gleeson would probably tell me maybe it was that right to start. I took off the headphones, and fair play to Ian, the engineer with Tip FM, he gave me just the microphone, because I said, these bloody headphones, I can't take in the atmosphere. So once the headphones were off, I was able to take in everything. I watched everything that was going on, the atmosphere, the crowd, what was going on. Austin Gleeson went for the juggler early on, put it out by the post wide. It was just hugely fearful that we were going to concede an awful lot. And it unfortunately, it came to fruition, as you well know. We had 2:14 conceded by half time. It was just the lads themselves, the heart and the commitment they showed, and the unbelievable tenacity to stay the whole game, to hang in there to the bitter end, kept Tipperary going. But Tip played on instinct, lads, I think. We played on instinct. We have marvellous hurlers, and we played on instinct. I think Waterford had that little bit on his right through. Austin Gleeson should have got that goal. Obviously, they went through and put the ball over the bar in the second half to make an insurance point, as they thought. But we came back up and then had a couple of huge opportunities again. But overall, to concede 4:28, looking at it from a Tipperary point of view, just concede 4:28, 40 points was just too much. You can't win games, you know. And then to score 2:27, the highest ever score for a losing team in a championship, it's just heartbreaking for the players themselves, because they died with their boots on, as Liam said. But of course, there's a bit of surgery needed, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was like, some ways, Tej, it reminded me of the great, maybe, boxers we think of down through the years who you know, I'm not saying they stayed on a fight too long or anything, but they were great champions, and they loved the game, and they wanted to stay on the stage. It wasn't about money even with those great fighters, but you knew possibly this wasn't the fighter of old.
No, and it can't be. Look at the reality. Once you move into your 30s in the modern game, it's gone so quick. I probably don't like some of the commentary over the weekend about, like you just touched it at the start, we're moving managers on and we're moving players on very, very quickly here. We want new straight away, and we want fresh players. I suppose the game had it all. Like, there were 6 goals scored, and there could easily nearly have been 6 more. The chances were so many there. Like, what's incredible about Waterford's score as well, Ken, was out of 4:28, imagine only 1 point came from a free, which is incredible. 3:25 from play, 2 from the sidelines. Like, it was just, like, to score 3:25 from play is unbelievable. it was very possession type game. Like, effectively, nearly when Waterford had the possession, they kept it, worked it, and got a score. When Tip had it, they kept it. There wasn't maybe as much play on the middle, which probably suited Waterford's game. I agree with Ken, you can concede 40 points in hurling, whatever way you set up. There was no card in the game. It seemed to lack physicality. Now, maybe it did because of the base, Ken. Maybe it was the way guys were running and moving the ball. But you have to get some sort of a hold on it there. And maybe don't concede those puck outs to Waterford and maybe back your defence a bit more. And
yeah,
I thought that maybe... Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, well, it's hugely frustrating for me. And nobody has the answers. And I've been there before myself, you know. But it's just one comment to make is that Roland Maher... I cannot understand why he's left half back. I think he rallied the team in the second half from that position. I think he had to be number six. He was, as a 21-year-old, he was number six in 16. It was his first championship season. And he was absolutely outstanding. And he was absolutely outstanding filling a problem role at fullback in 2019 in a central position. And even, I think Mikey Beavens did 100 metres in 8 seconds. When that puck out came to that, Roland caught in his fingertips in the second half and said, no more ball down Roland Maher's wing. And that's what transpired. You saw where the scores came from then, the far wing.
The far wing.
Yeah. And like, maybe I'm missing something, but Roland had to be number six for me, you know, to stem the tide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very you can't expect to win a game, Ken, when you're conceding those type of numbers, and like you've got to get that platform right. But look, I suppose look, she still felt that the old guys were still the team. Like they're not that old. 33, 31. Like Tom Brady was playing there recently, Dale, and he was whatever 43. Like, so we are probably quick at club level and county level in the modern era to move fellas on. But these game plans and the workarounds, and you'd probably have to give Walker plenty of credit for that and the way they play the game. And Dave brought a new dimension again with two boys in the middle of the field. Like, since Jamie Barron has come back in and his partnership with Peter Hogan in the middle of the field, it is causing problems for teams. They're just very, very busy. They're off the shoulder every single time. Their ability to play is ahead of the ball, Dale, right? And in the ruck, then, to find that player, that's definitely kind of one of their signature plays. They're doing really, they must be doing a lot of work on it. They caused Tip a lot of problems. They had a lot of runners through the middle. And I would say, looking ahead to the weekend, you would say it's a game that could cause Limerick.
Oh, Jesus, they'd lay down your
will you go away, will you?
Come on, will you? Hey. Jesus.
No, but I'm just saying, round the middle of the field, it is a way to play that could cause these problems. They will meet a different physical challenge in the defence.
We'll talk about that. Mark Hall. We'll talk. Come here.
Okay,
the story is all about Waterford here, as in lot, you know, has to be like. I mean, they were written off like the Clare match, terrible, didn't trundle past Laois. And you know, now it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah. Look, well, they have brought something new, Anthony. I'm wrong in saying something new, but they have brought a vibrancy to the first 15 or 20 minutes to a game that we haven't seen the pace of that type of thing for, I suppose, in any of the championship matches this year. So like their first 15 minutes was just absolutely electric over the weekend. And a lot of that is down to Jamie Barron in the middle of the field. He was outstanding, along with Peter Hogan as well. Another outstanding forward that has converted into a midfielder, which is actually strange. But I suppose in the overall context of things, whether they'll be able to last 70 minutes against somebody like Limerick is the big thing. Now, just coming back to the Tipperary team, that's with 71 minutes played, there was 2 points in it. Tipperary were after getting 3 gilt-edge goal chances at the time. So, I mean, like, we're writing off Tipperary here as having, you know, where does their future go from here? But, like, if John McGrath struck the goal, and I think the most important save, or the vital miss, I suppose, was the one that the keeper saved and it went over the bar. I thought if that went in, the scores were level. I actually think Tipperary would have went on and won the match. It's just the fact that the 3 chances that came and were missed, and then when Tip were pushing up the field, they got caught with a sucker goal down on the other side from Niall Montgomery. But like, I don't know Waterford were brilliant, but I still think, I thought Tipperary were equally as good and just missed out. If they got one of the three goal chances at the end of the game, I think the game could have went Tipperary as well.
It's amazing that we were crying out for goal chances, Mark, all the year. We were so pessimistic in the league. Oh, not 25 to 21 points. Are we ever going to see a goal? Now the championship has brought up great goal chances, great saves, wonderful goals taken. And we have a feast of goals. And I think that the modern day game with the goals situation has been great. I think we can't complain anymore. Waterford play off the cuff. They play with speed. The run at teams, to take chances. Obviously, you see that, and some of that can be defined as they say, kamikaze defending or whatever you like to call it, which really suffered for a finish. But the tip, the John McGrath, Mark Keogh particularly, you know, when they came into the team, Niall O'Mara, they started running at the Waterford defence. We pushed up. I just looked last night, I couldn't believe it. John McGrath only came on the 59th minute, lads.
Yeah.
Now, if I was Liam Cahill or Mikey Peebles, was saying, oh, I don't want to see John McGrath coming into this game. I don't want to see John McGrath coming into this game. 59 minutes was a little late. I think he deserved at least to come in, you know, after the first quarter, after 45, 46, 47 minutes, you know, after the second water break, he should have been in.
Yeah.
Well, we'd have to touch Ken, I suppose, and I need the three, but like the penalty decision, lads, I mean, and Brian Gavin just said, like, you know, and Cullum Lyons had a great game. He contributed so much to the game, but it was a huge call, like, wasn't it? I mean, there was no freeing it, really. If you actually, the most telling thing about it, I think, is when Austin gets blocked down by Barry Hogan for this, you know, when he went to kick it, Austin never reacted at all. Like, who knocked my hurley out of my hand? Austin was just looking to see, was the 65 even?
Yeah.
It was the most telling thing for me. And it was a huge call, lads, at a huge time. It was desperate relief for Waterford.
Well, I'm going to come back to this now again, right? Because I wanted to say it last week about technology, Anthony, right? I think Cullum Lyons awarded the free because he felt there was a technical foul that Mikey Breen hit Austin Gleeson's hurley and he dropped the hurley, which forced him to not get a strike, which, look, we all know now we've played it long enough. That really isn't a foul and it's certainly not a penalty, right? I just got to digress for 1 second. The first Lyons test, right? The on-field referee gave 3 tries and he said, my on-field decision is a try. And 2 of them, based on video evidence, were overturned and the result went towards the Lyons. And those two results had a big, or those two big calls that were decided by technology, decided by television, were telling in the end. And I think if Cullum Lyons replayed that again on the screen, right, or if you give the opposition a chance. You know, remember we mentioned about the Aussie rules that you have one call and one challenge, and if that challenge is correct, you keep your challenge. If it's incorrect, you lose your challenge. I think, and I'm saying this now, the sooner the GAA moves to more technology and more use of technology, the better. And part of the reason why we're not doing it is because Croke Park is really the only stadium in the country that is set up properly for technology. But if we're really serious about treating management and players correctly, we need to install large screens and have technology in 4 or 5 of the big stadiums all over the country, because the fine margins between winning and losing is coming down to decisions. And I'm not saying that cost them the game. It didn't. Because the reality is that Tip got 3 goal chances themselves and they didn't take any of the 3 chances, right? So there's no point in blaming Cullum Lyons. It was a part of the game. I think Cullum Lyons, if he reviews it again, will say, ah, yeah, maybe technically it was right. But I'd say he wouldn't give it in another circumstance. But look, it didn't cost Tip the game as far as I'm concerned. But it was a huge fill-up for Waterford at the time because it stretched out their lead to 7 or 8 points.
No, for me, Dello, we've touched on this before. I just think that where do you stop? How far does it go? At what part of the pitch do you bring technology? The game is too quick.
I know where you're coming from here, but we have talked about it before. Don Logue suggested maybe that it's time to mic up the refs. So like American football, penalty, strike on Hurley, correct, penalty is my decision.
Yeah.
Is that,
wouldn't it slow it down? At least then we know. Wouldn't slow it down. We don't know today for sure what the penalty was for. Was it for the keeper's tackle?
No, it's not.
Or was it for nothing? It didn't.
I know.
But last night, you know, okay. Last night, like, usually if the referee sees a foul, he has his hand up straight away. He didn't have his hand up when the Hurley was knocked out. So, but anyway, look, the penalty was given. I suppose I didn't think at the time there was a penalty. It was soft. I did think it had a bearing in the game because at that stage, to put up 7 points up, it did make a big difference. I thought it gave Waterford that cushion. They were struggling for a while after that. Look, these things happen and look, the decisions are made.
TJ, can I ask you a question now, right? Would you prefer that if Colm Lyons got 30 seconds to review his decision on the big screen and throw in the ball, not award the penalty? Do you not think that that would be the right thing to do? Forget about the slowing down the game now.
VAR has made a Horlicks of soccer in the UK, right? I'm just telling you, this will be 10 times
You can't worse. Compare it.
There'll be so many decisions. No. Where does it stop? We've been looking at decisions as far as the middle of the field. Like, we could look at the Mark Hugh decision when he was going through.
True, right? That's a big issue for me.
Yeah.
In the current game, if you go to VAR and ask them, was he true on goal? Was there a goal scoring chance? And the answer is there was. So where does it stop? At what end of the field? How many tackles? How many hits? I don't think it's the way forward for our game. It takes excitement and that kind of off the cuff away from it. So I'm no for VAR and no for technology. Get the decisions right, Mackie. Don't be soft on people. Look, they're there for a reason. Get them right. I have a right, yeah.
Dalo, you mentioned Dalo about Don Logue, right? Miking up a fourth referee in the sideline who sees that clearly, that's not a penalty. Hurling, yeah, is a very instinctive game. Off the game, as TJ mentioned, it's a very fast game. Lads, if we're going to be holding up games with technology, hurling people don't appreciate that one. We suffered as a result, Mark, last weekend. Fair enough. I think 99% would say it's no penalty. Colm Lyons made a human decision. The funny thing for me, we're talking about the GA and the speed of the game and the speed of hurling. Just before halftime, Jason Ford was blocked down and a Waterford that pounced in the ball and was flying off. And Colin blew half time. At that stage, and I wouldn't blame Liam Cahill because he was epileptic with rage, he ran onto the pitch and a number of players surrounded Colin Lyons because of the fact that he blew up in play. Now, in my opinion, Colin Lyons refereed the game. He was brilliant in the first half, Mark. In the game, second half, he refereed. I think it was in the back of his head when Austin went through that time. What happened? There was no free. We all acknowledged that there was no free. It was no penalty. It was a human decision by Colm Lyons. But that human being element in a referee is just the same as any the rest of us. And it was a huge decision, TJ. That penalty was a huge blow to Tipperary. We couldn't afford to concede that. We were 3 or 4 points down at that stage. That made it a 7-point game. We've seen full forwards. We've seen centre forwards bursting through, fouled in the square, Hurley around their head, and the next thing the referee blows for over-carrying and gives a free out. We saw no contact there, and as you mentioned, Mark, Austin didn't even look for a free. It was one that was a 65 or a wide or whatever it was.
Yeah.
There was no hand for TJ. We have to acknowledge it was definitely no penalty.
Yeah, look, I think it was, but it's. I like your thinking, Dokken, that we must accept. We will whinge. We'll go for the pint that night and meet our friends and we'll say, jeez, we had him at that stage. We had him, lads. Like, you know, and I go back to the Clare thing, you know, the yellow card and, you know, we're still talking about it up here and yet we were in the back door. So, like, it is hard to take. But, and I mean, I suppose I was on the wrong end, the biggest...
Backman, yeah, the Waterford backman stopped Mark Hill from shooting at goals.
You'll get a bit and you know what I mean? Mark, you even spoke there earlier about 95 and you said about you got it in 95 and look what happened. And we didn't get it this year. And I suppose that's part of what we enlist for with hurling. And I agree with you. We should try and get the decisions more and more right.
Yeah, I
agree with you. And to take that split second on the crucial one have a video referee in somewhere who has a screen and can see what the co-commentator Michael Deignan can see in that split second,
yeah,
and stop the player for a split, you know, just 20 seconds. Like,
yeah,
you know, the replay is on straight away in RT. And I said, geez, Cullum, I can see nothing there, right? White
yeah,
ball,
yeah,
do you know.
And like, lads, I just think there's great learnings from the other sports. Like, you know, I must say, I think rugby have it down to a T. They include everybody, lads. They include the two touchlines and the referee and the video. And
Mark, the bloody game took 2.5 hours to play. For God's sake, Mark. The game went on for over 2 hours.
The worst game in the history of
I love rugby. It was the worst game to watch. It was so slow. It took over an hour to play both halves. Everybody is hugely upset. And I know what the point you're coming to, but in actual fact, it was a yawn from start to finish. That's not what hurling's about.
I know. And Ken, I don't disagree with you. I won, Josh, right? But if you look at all the matches over the weekend, on how many occasions might we have had to go for a video assessment at the weekend? 2 or 3 decisions? Come on, lads. For the sake of 30 seconds, right? I agree with you that the match, the Lions game was brutal in terms of the slowness of that stuff, right? Because they're questioning everything. But in terms of hurling, we would have only needed, I'd say, 1 or 2 decisions to actually go for the video assistant. But like, and you also know, lads, that the linesmen are not included unless the referee brings them in. They should be mic'd up at all matches, the 4 umpires, the 2 linesmen, with the referee, and that they're in constant communication all of the time, lads. And I'm led to believe that technology is only available in Croke Park. And if you want to have it in Turles or Parky Cueve, you need to bring it yourself as a referee. Croke Park should be providing that, all the mic club situation to all the facilities and all the pitches.
Bring it yourself?
Yes. There's only one stadium that is fully adaptable or capable of taking the mics, and that is Croke Park. And that's provided by Croke Park. It is not provided in any other stadium, Dela. Checked out already.
Like, Joe, I know that it's not the other stadiums, but I can't the fathom of bring it yourself.
Yes.
Just bring the technology there and you can use it if you want.
I know, bring the, you know the way that the referees are mic'd up and stuff like that. That's the referees. I'm led to believe that it is their own referees' gear themselves that they're bringing. It's not being brought by Croke Park.
Anyway,
we're going off the tangent here. We're taking the heat off Limerick there. TJ's loving it.
Yeah, I love it. Ken, at the game, right? Just watching it on TV. It looked like after the second goal went in for Tip, right, that Shane Bennett's positioning changed. But it was like as if he sat in front and killed that space a good bit more than he did at the start of the game. And the second thing I was going to say to you was the significance of Paddy Maher's wide there when it going down the stretch. Do you remember when you brought it back to one? You just kind of got a feel of, like, I suppose one, it was probably ambitious maybe to go for that to get a point from there. If he had used the tip, seemed to have the bit of momentum. And to me, watching on E, that killed it, I think, did it?
Yeah, like, Paddy's doing that since he's under 14 with Turles Sarsfields. He's playing at centre back. Roland's the same. They're brilliant hurlers. They're up. They go and they have a cut off it. Paddy at that stage, like Paddy, what a warrior. What a full back. And like, I agree totally with TJ about retirements. He's pushing people into retirement. Paddy Maher, he's in supreme condition. You know, he's a number of years to play. And I was always a huge fan. I had him at 121 when we won the All-Ireland at fullback. I'm a huge fan of Paddy at fullback. Everyone was saying, who's going to fill this position? I think he's a wonderful fullback. He loves sallying up the field. He loves being out the field. And one of his faults, TJ always was, he'd go for this big haymaker from the middle of the field. He had a wonderful interception prior to that, came up the field. He knows now Paddy would be the first to know it because he's such an honest player that he should have given it in to the McGraths and the Kyos inside and the lads inside. It didn't happen. It went wide and it took the momentum and the wind out of our sails. It was a big one. And actually, Ronan had one as well where after a magnificent catch. We're again, the lads, they play off the cuff. They're wonderful players. But you mentioned Paddy. Two instances there. One, he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant for the team. Two, that decision that wasn't a good decision. I think it had a huge bearing in the game. It took the wind out of our sails, definitely.
And Ken, I can't leave it, but Liam Cahill gave an awful honest interview after the game, like he said, when he was asked about his native county, obviously, and he said, like, a lot of soul searching, to quote him, he said, tough decisions to be made. He mentioned big crossroads. He spoke about, you know, well-resourced and backed management and what, and a tip, you know, and I'm not responsible for my headline writers now in my piece today where he said Tip need a new direction. Jesus, I'm looking at hurling long enough to know Tipperary will always be contenders. We were speaking about Dublin getting back to be contenders. Tipperary will always be, every January they'll be contenders for that, I learned. But he did call it out fairly straight, and whether that's a bit of hurt from his own point of view from the last management decision or not, I don't know.
Well, I know Liam Cahill well, and we've had our highs and lows throughout our career, but Liam Cahill is an absolutely honest man, a passionate hurling man, and we can't forget Mikey Beavens' input here as well. He's a top-class coach. What a great guy to have on your side. To come as a package, you know, to like Clough and Taylor, to come as a package. From my point of view, Liam is hurting, obviously, from 2019. He felt it was his job. He'd won a minor 2021. The thing about Liam is, Liam was very brave to take on the job in 2019. But to come back, people say never come back. I think Liam went with the lads. He stuck with the lads. They have huge trust in him. He had huge faith. He built up a very good backroom team. You know, Tommy Dunne, an outstanding coach, you know, has been involved minor 21, senior. What Tommy Dunne has contributed to Perry Hurling, nobody can take back. Obviously, Eamon O'Shea coming back into the fray as well. You know, huge persuasion. So the strength of Liam's was his delegation in bringing in a great backroom team, right? And they stuck with the lads. Probably if Liam had come in at that stage, lads, he would have dismantled it a small bit. He would have been ruthless, you know, like the Noel Connors, Maurice Shanahan situation. And maybe Tip might have won the All-Ireland in 2019 as a result. Like, but I think Liam is hurting a small bit. I think he's a passionate Tipperary man. He would love to have that Tipperary job. He's doing a wonderful job for Waterford. Obviously, from everybody's point of view, I think TJ's dead right. You never write off any player. You can have an impact. Noel Lane, I mean, every year do you say, Asher Noel Lane retired now. And the Shagger will come back and he scored against us in 88. He scored against Kilkenny in 87 at 34, 35 years of age. Some of these players can have a huge role to play, you know, for 20, 25 minutes. They owe Tipperary nothing, those players. Liam Sheedy owes Tipperary nothing. They have had a wonderful, you know, time together. But I do think there is a small bit of surgery needed. Simple thing. Met Mike Finnelly. I was talking to him about the Rhinus lads. And he said to me, do you know, Tip Speed Team pledged the Offaly team in a challenge. And Tip Speed Team were very impressive. And Liam said to, he actually said to Mike Finnelly, he said, they're beating our lads in training, the A team in training. But we didn't see enough of that B team. Brian McGrath, outstanding hurler, Harty Cup, has all those medals, Owen Connolly. We didn't see these guys come championship. Them are the guys for the future, whether it's Liam Sheedy will have them or somebody, some other manager, I don't know. But there, as you mentioned, there are hurlers there. I would have been happier, though, if them lads had seen more opportunities in the league. And we got to see him in the championship because we definitely, as you know, lads, we were plugging holes at the back. And Owen Connolly and Brian McGrath would definitely have fitted that mantle.
Yeah, and great stuff, Ken. And look, I said that this morning, like I'm retiring Norman here. Yeah. Liam Sheedy, what a manager. Stopped the drive for five and came back in, as you said, in a second come and delivered another at Ireland. What a man as well. What a friend. I'm not, you know, a great bloke. And I've no doubt, though, that whether it is sooner or later, we'll see Liam Cahill with that Tipperary Bannish Doors bib on his back and Mikey Beavens doing the training. So, let's say, yeah, Waterford, all the story, just to finish off on him, TJ, huge pace, huge Barron, huge Austin, huge Desi Hutchinson, I would have said. And I thought my man of the match now, and I got to say this, and he didn't hardly get a mention, was Kieran Bennett.
Kieran Bennett.
Left halfback. Yeah. I have a soft spot for these left halfbacks. Jesus, Kieran Bennett. Ran the game nearly. We spoke about running matter, but shouldn't be out there. Jesus, Kieran Bennett was everywhere for me. And there's a huge pace in them, and they used it. They know, I think now Liam even knows more about them this year and where they're at. They haven't Tighe, they haven't Stephen. Stephen O'Keefe from the goal, sorry, obviously Belly Gunner, great. But they're no whinging out of Cahill, on with it, play to our strengths, and, you know, Prunty could have been rocked his foundations with Shammy banging in too early. How many fullbacks would that destroy? And he proceeded to put out the chest and say, I'm better than that. There's some belief coursing through them.
Absolutely. And I think a little bit like Cork, their formation, obviously because of the loss of Tighe at six, like it took a while to get there, but Shane at six is definitely fixing a lot for them. It's definitely leaving Ozzy forward definitely an awful lot more of the game than we have seen in the past. He's a huge plus up there because he can score. And obviously the runners that they have, and so many players who are willing to work for it. What impressed me also after the game, Dela, was, right, was when the game was over, right, there was no real celebration or anything from the Waterford players. It was like, just get off the field quick, down the tunnel. They knew this was part of a process. Like, so he has them really well tuned in. There's some of them there, they're like greyhounds. And you take Prendergast centre forward, Peter Hogan in the middle of the field, they're real energy, just looking for that work, looking for the ball, and looking to give it off at every opportunity. I can probably also see their training, obviously. There must be plenty of physicality in it, because in the tackle, they're good at getting rid of the ball, as I was saying earlier. Like, so when they get swarmed in, they're very, very good at it. The other thing I was going to say, before we go, about sport, we find lines, and we're on about managers, and, like, the season, and maybe we're heading forward to semi-finals, like, the fine lines are getting finer and finer and finer by the minute. Like, Kieran Kingston is 70 minutes away from another final, right? He was probably Tony Kelly's strike away from having no championship win, right? Sean O'Brien's save is probably the difference between Liam Cahill and Liam Sheedy, right? We're talking about Davy Fitz, right? There was a hawk decision in the Leinster final which probably stopped Davy being in the Leinster final, and he could have been beaten Dublin and been Leinster champions and be sitting waiting, right? And even take Limerick's decision, right? Like the Aaron Gillan decision against Tip in the Munster final as to whether to send him or not to send him was probably a really finite line as well. If he had got sent off, Tip could have been waiting, sitting in the semi-final. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we tend, us people sitting on the fence, Matthew, right? We tend to look and we need something. Like, in all walks of life, right, we want something or someone to blame. That's the way we're going now with all walks of life. And unfortunately, the manager is kind of the first port of call. And I'm just saying about these lines, like all these management teams, all these management teams, the one thing that I know from my time involved, right, in club hurling and county hurling, I'm sure you all guys do as well, right? I have never seen a management team who didn't want to give everything they had to win. That's what every management team is wanting to do. They want to win. And when it doesn't work out, then, unfortunately, you get the credit, but you get the blame as well. That's life.
And you know what, though? That's what makes our game the most, you know, you've got the situation you summed up there about the Hawkeye, the Tony Kelly, the save from Sean O'Brien. That's what makes hurling the magic that it is, like, and that's why when we watch, I'm not cutting down our co-sport now in our association. Jez is watching Dublin and Kildare yesterday for a small bit, and you're saying, will someone bring a shot clock into this game? We have to kick the freaking thing forward at some stage, like, you know. We've given out about the changing systems in hurling and that kind of thing, but look at the match we had Saturday. Like, Jesus, you just, like, there was lads watching it there, and there were just casual supporters, and they were coming in and out of the pub, and we people allowed inside as well now, so the telly inside. There was people coming in from outside who were watching on the big screen, and I had gone inside to watch it with my notebook. They were just shaking their head. Ah, Jesus, one fella said he was a Limerick man. He'd come in to see Waterford finishing off Tip. He taught me before the match. It's a bit of rivalry there, TJ, you know yourself. But he just came in at half time. He was shaking. He said, ah, Jesus, he just said to me. Like you said. But look, it's fantastic. And look, we're delighted for it. And we're going to look forward to the semi finals as well. And look, we lads, a couple of things. Jeez, Mark, this COVID story is only breaking since yesterday evening.
Yeah.
Just we said it after the Dublin thing, didn't we? We wouldn't hear the last of it, and
yeah, no, it just terrible. Hasn't gone away, like, has it?
No, there'll be, I take it, it'll be just postponed, will it?
Postponed, yeah. I think the powers that be have spoken to each other and just said, look, and it isn't a case of
we say like Tyrone over the weekend or Dublin in the Leinster final, that a number of players are close contacts. The issue is that the player, I think, involved was in the dressing room after they won the championship last Wednesday night. So everybody was in the dressing room after. So they can't isolate one or two, like, you know.
To some turnaround from April, though, when a Wexford lad was positive on the Monday and it was two clear lads with the close contact.
Well, sure, that's an incredible scenario. Like, but we spoke at length of that was totally unacceptable. Like, our situation is quite simple. Player was tested on Saturday, got the results on Sunday morning, and in fairness to the county board and the manager, moved immediately to make the powers that be aware of the situation. So, the problem is that I think they were in the dressing room after the match. I suppose that everybody is a close contact because everybody was in the dressing room, and that alone isn't just the players; it's the management as well. So everybody's the big thing here is there's a big circle of people outside of the management and the players now that could be seen as close contacts as well. So I think what's happening is all the players and management are being tested today, and we'll know more, I suppose, over the next 24 hours. But, you know, look, it's down to the All-Ireland final. We waited 5 or 6 months for the 2020 final to be played. So if it has to go off for a couple of weeks, so be it.
But you know what the cynical keyboard warriors and don't tell me now that
listen.
You don't tell me that I like them now. I hate the dirty fuckers.
Yeah.
But you know what they're saying is that, you know, if Kilkenny beat the Cork seniors, two significant under-20 players come available all of a sudden for an under-20 All-Ireland final. No, I don't think for one.
Listen to me. Listen. The most important thing at this moment in time is that the player involved is okay. And that any of the other players and management that could have underlying issues and stuff like that, that's what my initial concern is that everybody is healthy and well, and that within a week or 10 days that this whole thing will blow over. It has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the two lads, and like if Cork happened to win next weekend, I would presume that the All-Ireland final will be, the under-20 final will be played before the All-Ireland final anyway, so it's immaterial. So, you know, if the result goes the other way, Cork are beaten this weekend, then they do become available. But lads, my initial thoughts right away are for the health and well-being of the player involved and all the close contacts and the management there.
Yeah, and look, enough said about that. I totally think this is the right course of action as opposed to the action taken earlier in the year. And look, I know the Galway lads anyway probably say, we want to play their full team anyway.
Absolutely. Listen, I remember we were playing an under-16 East Cork final and going back 25 years ago. We're playing our local rivals and
we're going on another bit.
Yeah, and you just said to me, listen, we can't field. We have a half a dozen injuries and stuff like that. And I was saying, Jesus, the boys went to win the championship, like, you know, and I just said, you know what? Listen, we'll give you a break. There's no problem. Because like you just said, we want to play your full team and we don't want anybody saying afterwards, actually you beat a half a team. So It's a case of make sure that everybody is okay, and I'm sure that that match will be played fairly soon, Anthony, straight away, I'd say, you know, once everything's okay.
Yeah, like a certain Clare team in 1998 said, look, it was blown up short, we'll play again next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Win it this.
Exactly.
You want to win it this.
Dela, as you know, if you win anything, you wanted one on the field to play, you don't want one in the boardroom.
Dark boardrooms, TJ. On Tuesday nights.
The field of player. No problem.
Yeah, lads, that's what it is, and we'll see it panning out. Lads, we had the tiered competitions being finished off over the weekend, and great win, the Laurie Maher from Anna. Gracie Cavan, I mean, it was a big story 7 or 8 years ago. Cavan couldn't field the team, and great, they got there, but Fermanagh were too strong. Great story in the record. Keith Higgins, what a warrior, the Belly Harness legend. Just saying, soon as he was finished, a massive inter-county football career. Oh, geez, I'm going back hurling. And he lifts the Nicky record for them. I think that's a gem of a story.
That's brilliant, yeah.
This is where I think our tiered system is a winner. Unfortunately, we're not getting enough publicity into the competitions. That is the problem. We need to look at that. The GAA need to look at that. We need to make these more high profile, and I give them the coverage. I think that's crucial.
And Ken, am I correct, Dalo, in saying that Colm Sheehan, the cooler guy, was he playing with Cavan?
Geez, Colm Shannon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he scored a point for Cavan, and I was just saying, it's great that these guys are going there that maybe have all their club medals in their back pockets and playing in the Lowry Maher, the Nicky Racker, the Christy Ring, and promoting the game. And the Cavan, I see this fella, he's club medals in his back pocket, and he's out there playing with us. You know, I think there's so many hurlers that could be playing at intercounty level through parental rule or anything like that that never get that opportunity. And it's great to see these fellas getting the opportunity to play with other counties and promoting the game there.
Yeah, and we just always refer to the David Reedy story, I suppose, with Limerick. Yeah, Ken, up, played with Kildare, no whinging, no snotty, no stuff, got on with it, and now he's back. And what is he, two All-Ireland medals now? We definitely won anyway. And will, it's been turning every game for Limerick. And Ken, great, awfully luck. We do, none of, like, great rivals, great county. Both codes, Jesus, the pint the young lad got in the 21 football lads when he flicked it up. It was Matt Connor-esque, wasn't it? On the run, left peg down, never broke stride, on the hand and over the bar, fisted over the bar. But there's a you know, Ken, and I suppose you're looking forward to getting your county final place from last year in very difficult situations, obviously, same for both teams, I suppose, but there is a revival in the faithful county.
Without a doubt, you know, and you mentioned Michael Dignan at the start. What a brave decision for him to come in and take on that job. We are all sitting on the outside, lads. We all love coaching. We love managing for coaching. To take on an administrative role, chairman of a county board or chairman of a club, as you well know. John O'Donoghue, the TD, mentioned it was way worse than politics. So from that point of view, you know, like, awfully again now, lads, are an attractive... They're an attractive market. You know, they're there. They're playing. The pitches in Kilcormac are second to none, the county pitches. But the key thing here is, Offaly always pride themselves on being a dual county. They're now in an under-20 football, All-Ireland. But the Christy Ring was so important from the point of view, not because we know Offaly are way better than that. Obviously, things didn't go their way last year. But just from the point of view of promoting the game, the youngsters don't matter, lads. Whether it's Christy Ring or Lowry Maher or Lee McCarthy, they see the Offaly team on the TV last night in the Sunday game. They see Ben Keneally lifting the cup, and they see, gets the hurlies back on, get the Offaly jerseys back on, get hurling again, because they live and die for it here. There's an absolute hunger for the game, a drive for the game. And I think hats off to everybody involved, you know, in promoting that, because Mick Finnelly has come in. You know, he could have turned his nose up ahead. He's come in there with Johnny Kelly and Mike Kavanagh, and of course, David Kenny, you know, a great Offaly stalwart himself. So from that perspective, I think things are moving nicely. There's bigger obstacles to overcome, but from the point of view of promoting the game with the youngsters, to see the Offaly team on TG4 on the Sunday game, I think it's a big boost for the youth of the county.
It is. And It's great. It's great to see them back up at Joe McDonough. And I'd say everyone to Joe McDonough will be looking over their shoulders. No, that is Joe McDonough now. With Antrim down and Offaly up is going to be a fair proposition next year.
But you know,
Les, I can't let you go.
But Dalo, sorry, just before you go away from that, like, isn't it a great, I suppose, if you're Kilkenny now, you're looking at Michael Fenley cutting his teeth outside the county as well in management and senior management. And like, at some stage, the end of the road is going to come for Brian Cody, and it's a massive question, I would say, in Kilkenny as to who is going to be his successor. So, like, we saw Eddie Brenny going to Laois, and we saw Michael going to Offaly. You know, I think that's a big thing for Kilkenny. I think that result is a big thing for Kilkenny as well, looking at maybe a manager down the road or a potential manager who'd have tremendous respect.
Mark, you let your guard down there now. You're writing off Brian Cody and Cork playing Kilkenny next weekend.
Oh, there's
nothing to do.
Larry, please don't make a column out of that. You never even mentioned Henry Shefflin, who hasn't lost the club games he did to manage.
That's right. Incredible, isn't it? Yeah, but I don't see any of them stepping forward in a rush, like.
Ah, but sure, Lucas, the gaffer is the gaffer there at the moment, I guess.
He got his.
Like, I've no doubt Lugnan could be still over clear if he wanted to be, like. So,
yeah,
it's that kind of thing, isn't
actually,
it? Yeah.
Ken, is 41 points a record?
Record pints.
Championship?
Yeah, record pints. As pints scored.
Record pints, yeah.
Pints scored, yeah. Record, yeah.
Lads, I can't let you off, TJ. And I'll just go to you, TJ, because we'd all repeat ourselves again. Huge moment, I suppose, on Wednesday. mid-morning when we heard that the Joe Show was over for the time being anyway. But like, yeah. I used to say, like, when I'd be talking about Joe, I often said it in a radio commentary on Radio 1, that the wand is working, I used to say. And like, the wand is the hurley, but only a magician uses a wand. And what a magician.
What a magician. What an ambassador for hurling over a long period of time. I think it was 2005. I think we played Portumna in a challenge, and he was just coming on the scene for the Portumna club scene. So he's been to the forefront of Galway hurling for a long period of time. He's been the main man. And look, a bit like the singer. I mentioned Joe Dolan before. There was no show like a Joe Show. At times, it was phenomenal. He's right up there with the very, very best I've seen. Look, it's a difficult argument. Was he better than maybe Henry or PJ Reid or whatever? But for me, he was definitely the greatest striker. He was the sweetest striker as I've ever seen, left and right. It was just pure natural for him. He was one of the very, very best. I've seen him in club and even there with Portumna in the last couple of years, and they're struggling, and he carrying them. What a player, what a man. And look, he's gone out on his own terms. We spoke about the injuries he's had there over the last couple of years. It's been difficult for him. But to carry the pressure that he's carried for a long period of time, I'm sure all you can say is one of the very best.
Absolutely. Well said. And on behalf of us all, I think, you know, the three of us and all our guests, Ken and Brian, Hoggy and Shane and Derek and everyone we have on, I think Larry and Rafe as well, like we'd just like to wish him the best of luck now and everything. And he's in business near enough to me here in Open Morrissey's in Dunveg. The business interests are growing, so not alone will he be cleaning out the Plough Championships, but he'll be cleaning them out with a bit of grub and a few beers and wines all over the country. So best of luck, Joe, and we've loved watching you. And
Dalo, just one thing there.
Yes,
a long time ago, I was did a coaching session for Portumna when they were preparing for their first county final, and I was doing a bit of free taking. The lads said to me, "Would you do a bit of free taking with Davy Canning?" And Davy, of course, was his older brother, and he was going to different angles, 40, 50 yards, and Davy was taking the free. He's a good free taker, he was too, but it was this young fella beside him was running around after him, a small fella, you know, 12 years of age. And obviously, David, we're concentrating on the lift and the strike, you know, and following through, putting it over the bar. But this young fella was leaving the ball on the ground and cutting it over the bar. And I said to Davy, "Who's this young fella beside us that's cutting the ball over the bar? We're trying to put it over the bar off the stick." And he says, "Oh, that's young Joe. That's young Joe, you know." And I think the photograph that epitomized everything about Joe was after winning that All-Ireland, his father and mother, on a personal note, both of them have gone through the ringer with illness. Two great people. And I think it summed up everything, the tears in their eyes flowing down the face of the father. Because, as PJ mentioned, he brought that pressure every day at Croke Park, representing the proud Canning name. And they're real, genuine, decent people just outside Portumna here, not far from me. And I think the family, what it was all about, the Canning family and what they achieved for their club and their county, was down to Joe and what he carried that pressure onto the pitch. But he carried it so manfully and honourably, you know.
Super said, super well said. Marco, I know you'd echo all those sentiments, so we want, oh, we don't need you to come in there. Of course, we would. And look, lads, thanks for listening. We probably didn't cover everything, and you'll tell us about it, no doubt, on social media. If we didn't, then you'd be giving all, "Oh, jeez, I nearly forgot the fantasy hurling, lads." And TJ, you'll be blessed relieved that the hurler in the ditch is down to second. And Gerard Dowd, gorgeous. Is some score, Gerard, 218. I hope, like the Mac Landers, that you hadn't all your eggs in one basket now with half your team gone, like for next week. Yeah, but well done. The hurler in the ditch is still close. Okay. Though. He's only 12 points behind, and Shane has to be 15 behind. What?
He's still within striking distance, to be fair.
Oh, Jesus, only take one pint from his captain, maybe, or something like that, you know. So, yeah, well done. And our own one, Ken, you're streaking away. Is Brian picking the team or what, Ken? 2-14 this week, like. Larry said on the WhatsApp, Ken, that you've it sewn up. He says the Laura Flyers bite is all over.
We're slowing up is right, because I have a few fellas now. Unfortunately, of course, my Tipperary boys would have meant that Jason and the boys and Ronan would have been in there on the team. So, and Jason was captain, by the way, as well. So I think I'm going to be down a few players now for for the rest of the campaign. So I'll watch with interest now as the lads catch. Larry will come with a late run, I'm sure, as well.
Larry's captain is gone as well. TJ, your captain?
My captain is Hoggy. I'm expecting 3-10.
There's the danger now.
3-10. Here's the danger. 3-10 from Hoggy the weekend against Kilkenny. He did it before. So something like that, would be ideal for me. So I'm within striking distance, still nicely at 60-odd points behind. So, yeah, not doing too bad.
I'm sure plenty of Limerick guys there,
TJ, to carry the mantle to you.
I have a couple of Limerick guys. Yeah. I went for Tom Morrissey in the forwards as well. So, yeah, tough enough now, in fairness. It'll be tight.
Yeah, it's tight down
in
the bottom.
I'm in big trouble.
Butler Hurley's sponsoring everything for us, lads. They're mighty guys. And Adrian Moore and all of us will come in with a couple of prizes as well. Tough down the bottom as well there, Mark. I know how you look at it. Looks like Hoagie has given up all hope on the thing, like, so 86 points, but you're up my ass now, like, for third from the bottom.
I've John Kiley and four
Limerick players. Yeah. I made one mistake.
Yeah.
Like, I fancied, I told you last week, Waterford a bad team, right? I told you. Let's face it. But at the last minute, around 10 to 12, I got the heebie-jeebies about the blue and gold, and I stuck in Noel McGrath and took out Darragh Fitzgibbon. I had my team pick, like, I'd be sitting pretty now. Yeah. I'd be middle of the table. I wouldn't be winning it, like, but anyway. Stop that bad start, guys. That's key. We'll be looking forward. We'll talk to you later on in the week. Thanks to Reno. Thanks to all our listeners, and we'll talk to you later on in the week. We'll do a quick 35-minute preview of the semi-finals later on the week. I think it went down well last week, so we're going to stick to that formula. So we'll talk to you soon, folks.
With Renault, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.